The following talk was given by Steve Hagen at Dharma Field Meditation and Learning Center in Minneapolis on June 18, 2014. This talk may not be played or reproduced for profit.
Good evening. I wanted to take a look at Zazen, seated meditation. Za means to sit, Zen is meditation. You know, we have different phrases, teachings in regards to sitting meditation. And much of the time, I think some of the things we say about Zazen is very strange. Or at least it could strike us as being kind of strange. Maybe we don't quite understand. Or we might very quickly put something together, some kind of meaning or understanding of what was just said about Zazen. And it might not be a very clear sense of what was just said at all. Could seem very puzzling and strange and maybe even off-putting in some way. Like, for example, we have this very strange little expression that Zazen is useless. I remember the first time I used that phrase, it was one that my teacher, Katagiri Roshi, would use from time to time. He'd make some mention of that. I remember when he first said it, when I first heard that, it's like, you know, kind of puzzling. What a strange thing to say. Zazen is useless. But at some point, I finally realized myself, oh, I see. I see what that is pointing to, what it is getting at. And of course, it changed everything once I started to see that. And then at some point, Katagiri Roshi asked me to give a talk. At some point, I thought, well, I'm going to talk about that Zazen is useless. And then the chairperson of the board afterward came up to me and said, oh, don't say that. If you say that, nobody will want to practice Zazen. And I wanted to say, well, haven't you ever heard our teacher say that Zazen is useless? And what do you suppose that means? And that's a pretty powerful phrase. I don't really expect all of you to know what that means, you know, what that's pointing to. I can assure you that it isn't encouragement to stop doing Zazen. Quite the opposite, actually. But it does have a very subtle understanding behind it, and an understanding that reaches into every aspect of your life in a very profound way and in a very helpful way, that if you could understand that simple little phrase, that meditation is useless, well, you would understand quite a bit. Actually, you would understand so completely that it would have some impact on virtually every part of your life if you really understood what was being pointed out there. So I just wanted to let you know that this is a very powerful, it's not something to be taken lightly. And of course, if you puzzle over that, meditation is useless. Well, then why did you do it? Why do you have? Why would I meditate if it's useless? You know, we'll have questions like this, and this is to be expected. But what I'm interested in looking at tonight, and I've just chosen that one little enigmatic little phrase there. Zazen is useless. I could, pick out any number of other ones as well, but this is a pretty powerful one. And an all-pervasive one. You know, like I said, it impacts virtually every aspect of our life and how we're living our life. If we could finally understand what is being pointed out there, it would have impact. But what I'm interested in looking at tonight is what do we do with when we encounter these kinds of little pithy little remarks, little statements like this that we have in our teaching. Our teaching is kind of peppered with a lot of little powerful statements. And oftentimes we'll hear them enough that it's easy to just kind of glaze over. Maybe the first time or so we're shocked when we hear something like Zazen is useless. Well, we have Uchiyama Roshi's story of when he and his friend, they were first exploring Zazen, and when they heard that teaching, his friend said, well, thank you very much for letting me know. I'm not going to bother with this anymore. And he leaves, you know. Whereas Uchiyama Roshi stuck with it for the rest of his life. So what is it about a phrase like this? What kind of impact does it have for us? This is what I think we need to take a look at, because there's a lot of little phrases like this in Zen that are so easy to gloss over, to not see what they're getting at. And what I want to help you with this evening is how to approach something like this. Some very strange little statement like that, where we have Ching Cheng, who said when the student comes in and asks him, what is that sound outside the gate? Student says, oh, that's the sound of raindrops, teacher. And Ching Cheng says, human beings are inverted. They lose themselves and chase after things. So when you encounter something like this, at first, of course, it doesn't make any sense. You can't get any sense of what is going on. But what do you do about that? Do we sit there now and try to figure it out? Start burning our brains, trying to make some sense of this? This is what I want to look at. So when we encounter a simple little phrase like meditation is useless, what do you do? What would you do with a phrase like that? You have anything to say about that? Do you think about it? Do you try to explain it to yourself? Do you just kind of ignore it? Think, oh, that must be advanced stuff. I'll get to that later. Well, what I would suggest is that when you encounter something like this in Zen, and Zen is likely to give you all kinds of little phrases and things that don't make sense at first. Well, in a sense, they never really make sense. But we can understand something about reality, something about the reality of our lives and how we're living it. And we can do that through these kinds of phrases. But if you sit there and try to figure out, well, what exactly is it saying? Zazen is useless. So there's meditation, and then it's useless. Well, if we try to answer it in some way, you're going to have a very tough time. Because, of course, there's not really any answer to that. And we could say all kinds of things about it. Well, we don't use our meditation. For example, I've talked like this many a times. But we don't. It just simply means we don't use our meditation to get something. That's our usual way of approaching everything in life. I will do this to get that. I will do this for some other... Well, of course, you see, that isn't meditation. Because meditation isn't something like that. All of our ordinary activity is like that. That's why I said that pretty much every aspect of your life has something to do with your understanding of this little phrase that Zazen is useless. It's because virtually everything that we do in life, we do it, well, there's got to be some reason, some purpose behind it. And if there isn't, well, then I won't do it. Well, that's interesting enough, and there's a lot to be said about that. But moving in a little closer, we can take a look at the fact that what this means is that if we look at this carefully, and I don't mean to get some ideas about this, but if we look at this carefully, you can start to see the way your mind is operating and the way that you move through life. And that if you are always doing this, whatever this happens to be in the moment, for something else, it means that you're never here. You're always kind of living life at a distance. It's kind of abstract and over there. You're just not really present, not here. You are using this for that over there. Well, then, so what happened? Okay, big deal. You get over there, now what? Well, it's something else again. We're always living like this. So I'm doing this for that over there. I get over there, and I'm doing this for that. Yeah. When are we ever here? This is what meditation is. This is what Zazen is. It's just simply to be here. And to not be here for some other purpose for that over there. Everything else we do is like that. I'm doing this for that. So this is something unique. If we really understand this meditation and to engage this kind of practice for what it is something really unique. There's nothing else quite like it. Because if you're doing this, by whatever means within you, this is Zazen. And at some point we can start to realize that, and then we can realize that, well, we can do the dishes just as doing the dishes. Not thinking about it, well, I'm doing the dishes so that I can have clean dishes tomorrow when I eat my breakfast or whatever. We don't think like, you don't have to think like that at all. You just take care of this moment, and whatever is coming up in this moment, you completely engage in this moment. But it is that very engaging in this moment and learning to do that, and just to take this up for its own sake, right here in this moment, whatever the activity happens to be, could be anything at all. Doesn't that, I'm not talking about just necessarily sitting on a cushion. I'm talking about anything at all that you're taking up. You can take it up for itself right here in this moment. Oh, sure, in the abstract, it's connected to other things, down the road, whatever. But you don't have to use that as a justification for being here and taking care of this moment, because this moment is your life right here, totally, completely. Why not join it? Why not be it? Just experience out of that totally. And then if we do that, if this is what we're doing, if we can learn to do this, in other words, just to be here, to completely practice out of this moment right here, well, then when we encounter a phrase like Zazen is useless, we will know how to take up the understanding of what is being pointed out there. Which is that we don't use that phrase. Figuring it out is another kind of way of then trying to figure out what it's good for. So I got this phrase that Zazen is useless. Now how can I use, I want to figure this out so I can use it for something, as opposed to just being here right with it. Or if you're reading out of the Blue Cliff Record or any number of things, Wang Po, Dogen, you're reading things that just seem impenetrable. I can't make any sense of this at all. It's just, because you're approaching it in a way to put it into the abstract, to project it over there and out, to study that and to figure out what that is and to build all kinds of constructs. This is our normal approach to everything. And contrary to what we firmly believe, that that's the only way I can have understanding, is to conceptualize it all and to build it into conceptual constructs of various kinds and get answers and things and show relationship. I mean, all of this is very functional and useful. There's nothing wrong with it. Don't get me wrong. But what we don't understand about this is that at no time do we ever arrive at the actual truth of our lives as we're living it out in this moment. We are living in the abstract. We are living out of our heads, so to speak, as opposed to just being right here and really tasting this moment for what it is. These other things are there for you to see, and to so it isn't like don't see the relationships between things and that sort of thing, ignore them as if that's bad. No, that'll present itself in whatever way it will, and you'll be able to grasp that and take all of these things in all sorts of ways. But when it comes to this practice and understand these kinds of teachings that are always pointing directly to this, just this right here, not for the sake of something else you're going to do later on, just to bring you right back to this moment here. Well, that's what this practice is, and that's how these phrases work. And to the extent that we can learn to do that and to take these things up right here in this moment, then we can begin to see what these different teachings are pointing to. These things that otherwise remain completely inscrutable, you can't decipher them, make sense of them. That's Ching Cheng, I mentioned him. What are the sound of raindrops? He points to something, ostensibly something over there. Raindrop, the sound of the bird. What is that sound outside? The student says, well, it's the bird. And Ching Cheng says, human beings are inverted. They lose themselves and chase after things. You say the bird, or I said meditation, so that I can have a calm mind. Well, you know, we have all these different explanations, but that is all very abstract and kind of cold in a way. And it isn't actually even understanding. So we lose ourselves because the life we're living is right here. It's not outside the gate. It's right here. Whatever we hear is right here. You know, whatever we experience is right here. Whatever we do is right here. If we're going to do this meditation, which is the activity of just being right here, then we're just right here. And it isn't done for some other purpose. And with this, we have real understanding. This is actual real understanding. The understanding, the knowledge, the experience, it doesn't come through the conceptualizing and through the packaging of things as ideas in our mind. As functional and useful as these things might be, and they are in many ways. There's nothing wrong with that, thinking and processing and all of this, and having theories and, you know, getting an estimate as to how far away that bird might be out there, and that's really, if you need to know for whatever reason, it's all very useful. But we don't have to leave this moment, this place, to do that. And most of the time, we live out our lives completely not here. Well, not completely, I suppose, because where else could we be? But where we entertain ourselves and where we occupy our minds and this sort of thing, that's where we seem to be living out, and it isn't here at all. It's somewhere else. And so when we encounter something like this, then Zazen is useless. What do we do about that? Well, don't start thinking about it. Don't start trying to figure out, what does he mean by it? What on earth could he possibly mean? This is always an invitation to just bring yourself right back here and then just simply look at that phrase. Consider. From time to time, it might come up in your mind and it might turn over in your mind a little bit. That's fine. You don't need to do anything else with it. But do consider, you know, all that actually arises right here in this moment right here. This is where your understanding will come. It comes right here. You already have this understanding. The understanding of truly being here and living out of this moment is not something strange to you. It's just that we tend not to pay attention to it. And it's not even so much, not so much that we don't pay attention to it, but it's just that we're paying so much attention to all of that out there, which in the end doesn't yield any understanding of what this is. And here's the reality. It's right here. And so we remain kind of confused. We might be very skilled at doing all sorts of things, and that's perfectly wonderful and fine. But we always remain kind of confused about the actual living out of our life. I don't know if I've made any sense to you at all. But this is how we take up this practice. We just take it up. This is not something difficult. Well, it might seem difficult because we're used to entertaining ourselves with many different things. But it is about just being here. And not being so concerned about whether or not you'll ever get an intellectual or conceptual grasp of anything at all. You have plenty of that to get you through life, you know, and you can figure things out like that. But when it comes to this matter, you don't need to work that apparatus of your intellectual processing of things, your thinking and conceptualizing, getting answers, you know, working it out in that way. All you need to do is to just be here. And then you can take a look at the phrase, well, Zazen is useless. At some point, you might recognize what you're doing. If you're truly here, you recognize what you're doing, and then you'll understand that phrase. You'll understand Ching Ching when he says that human beings lose themselves. They're They follow after things. But your life is right here. It includes the bird right here in this moment. At least it includes that sound. That sound is not outside the gate. Well, any questions now about what I said? Yes.
So, compared to what if a moment is like extremely painful? I mean, with regard to this, like if my back is, if I've been meditating for an hour, my back really hurts.
Well, if you've been meditating for an hour, why don't you get up? Walk around. You don't have to sit there for an hour.
So, after 10 minutes, my back really hurts.
Well, take care of that. You know, there's different things you can do. Maybe you're sitting in the wrong way. You know, there's other ways of sitting. You know, there's various ways that you can sit. You know, so there's different things you can do. I mean, we're just talking hypotheticals here now. So what can I say? If there was a specific condition, I might be able to look at it and say, well, here's your problem here. Maybe I could recommend something. But since we're just talking in the abstract, you know. But, yeah, take care of it. If you're in this moment, and you know, here's some pain in this moment, well, maybe there's something that can be done. You know, that's all. If that's the case, well, then take care of it. If there's nothing to be done, but what you described doesn't sound like there's nothing we can do about that. But if you're in a situation and, you know, it's painful, and no, there's nothing to be done, well, what are you going to do? To the extent that you can really be here present in this moment, that's the best way to take care of this situation. And it's to the extent that we're looking for something else over there, thinking of something else, and I want to get over there, I want to get away from this pain, this is going to intensify that pain. And you're going to start to go kind of crazy. If, in fact, there's nothing you can do about it. But the odds are, in most cases, there is something you can do. And then I would say, well, just do that. Do that. But all the while, you can still do this other thing. As much as possible, keep yourself present. Because that'll take care of all the rest. It's possible we're in a situation where we can't completely eradicate that pain. Well, and Zazen certainly doesn't promise anything like that. But to the extent that you can be present with this, it is not a problem. I remember this years ago, many years ago now, 35 years, maybe more, I don't know. It's been a while. Well, it was 1978. And I had cancer, I found out, finally. I'd been having pain trouble, different things. Finally, I found out I had cancer. Massive tumor here, tumors all over the place. I had a stage 4 non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And I was in pain. And then when I finally found out what the situation was, and in those days, the situation I was in, the odds of me surviving were pretty slim. So I was really faced with something serious. I didn't think I was going to live. I don't think my doctors thought I was going to live very long. But what I noticed at that time, fortunately, I finally started to understand this practice. Shortly before I found out I had cancer, which was very helpful. And I knew the importance of just bringing myself back to right here, right now. And it was so easy for me. It was so powerful to have my fears, worries, my concern about my pains. And when they'd come up, it was easy for my mind to get locked onto that. And, you know, and then projecting, and what's going to happen to me? And, yeah. And to the extent that my mind would become disturbed like that, and the pain was also became more of an issue. But fortunately, at that time, I finally knew how to bring myself back. And it was difficult because that was a pretty powerful encounter I was having that was going to pull me out of the moment. But it really became obvious to me to have such a test like that that was constantly on my face. You know, I wake up in the morning and you're going to die. I mean, it's right here, you know. You're in pain and all. Yeah. So it was, wherever I look, it was right there staring me in the face. But to the extent that I could bring, and it was really powerful for me because I could really see how to the extent that I could bring myself right here and take care of this. As I told my teacher, I realized all I have to do now is just put one foot in front of the other, just be present, really present with everything I was doing. And to the extent that I could do that, the pain, which didn't go away exactly, I wouldn't say, but it ceased to be that big an issue. I could live with it. I could deal with it. And to the extent that I could kind of start to feel myself losing it a little bit, and pretty soon, you know, and I'd realize what was happening, I learned to just bring myself back. So what I'm saying here, then, because I think it's really true, to the extent that you can, whatever the situation you might be with, whether it's physical pain or some other mental pain or some other situation, or, you know, you name it. We're distressed about this or that or one thing or another. And look at your mind. Your mind is all over the place. Worrying about imaginary things in the future, this thing, one thing or another. It's kind of like that 3 o'clock hour in the morning, you know, when you wake up and you got something on your mind and it's just, oh, man. And finally when the sun comes up, it's like, what was the big deal about that? Wasn't that big, you know? But it's that mind of really being tossed about. To the extent that we can come back into this moment here, that all of that subsides. And little by little, we can learn to live out of this. It's transparent. Everything's open to it, you know. So all the other things that you, it isn't like you tune things out. This isn't trance. This isn't something like that. We're talking about living out of full awareness, but keeping it here, keeping yourself present in this moment. And to the extent that we can learn to do this, these other kinds of issues that are just there in life, life just turns up all kinds of things, not just painful things, delightful things as well. Other things like this that could also take us away. But we can learn to be present with whatever's coming up. And it's by actually living in this moment here, now you can take care of these things. They feel like, no, I have to figure it out, I have to go over there, I have to do that. But now life becomes very difficult, fragmented, worrisome. So our way, our practice is just to come back. And we say this is useless, you know, because we're talking about something where you don't use this then to do these other things or take care of these other things. You will take care of these other things if you need to, but what you need to do is to bring yourself here. We do this. You know, and then you can do those things here in this moment. That's how we learn to do this. But it isn't by tuning anything out or ignoring it. Far from it is by really seeing it, but we take care of it here in this moment. And now you can actually take care of it. To the extent that we're not here and we're trying to take care of it over there, you can't take care of anything. And your life is going to be pretty, pretty disturbed and messy. So we learn to bring ourselves back to this. But if you have the idea, well, okay, I want to bring myself back to this, so I'm going to use this so I can, you know, well, that's the same old thing. You might think you're doing this, but actually you've just created something there and you're still playing that game out there. Truly bring yourself back to this moment. Find out what that is. Bring yourself here. And if you can do that, you will understand why we call this useless. You say, well, if you could really do that, that's got to be the most useful thing there is. Well, yeah, if you insist. But we have to learn what we're doing there. And I would say, you know, you don't have to play that game. We don't use this to justify that. Just do this. Just take up this. You can take up everything right here with it, just this. Anything else? This is kind of frustrating in a way because we see a teaching that directs us to this subtle thing and point I've been trying to help you with to point out here. It's hard for me even to talk about it. If you think it's hard to hear what I'm saying, you should try to say something about it. But this is difficult. It isn't really difficult. What I'm pointing out is actually something very simple, But we're difficult. We're complicated. And we think in complicated ways. And so it seems like this is something, you know, and it seems so vague. It doesn't have any clear outline. There's nothing there about it. You know, Steve, you haven't really said anything I can get hold of here. Yeah, I know. That's the way this is. Again, we don't do this for some purpose. If you get hold of this, now you can use it over there. It isn't something like that at all. You can't get hold of this moment. But by learning to come back to this, which you can't, well, exactly where are we coming back to? Well, actually, you're here. You're here all along. So you can stop. So it's more a matter of learning to stop doing all these other things that we tend to do, chasing about in our mind with one thing or another. And you'll discover that you're here. You've been here all along. This is why I also say that you really know what this is, what I'm pointing out. But it isn't something that you can put into a word. That's why I can't really give you a word for this. Yeah, we use these crazy phrases like Zazen is useless. It's a point to it. But there's really nothing here for us to get hold of. So we find this difficult because our tendency is always to reach and to grasp and to make sense. Okay, so I see what you're saying. We always do this. And every time we reach in that way, just look at that. Notice that actually, you know, all the stuff you construct in that way, none of it ever really brings you back to this. It is right from the very start a mental construct out here somewhere. So what do? Just stop. It's very simple. Just stop. Let your mind be quiet. Dogen says, if you want to attain suchness, then practice suchness without delay. Suchness, thus, right here, such. The actual reality of the moment unfolding here. So if you want to realize this, well, then practice it immediately. So at any given moment, no matter where we are or how we're caught, one thing that we can just, right now, we're completely free to just come back. Because actually the coming back isn't even coming back. Because this is where you are, it's where you've been all along. So it's difficult. And this is probably a pretty sloppy teaching I gave you this evening. But it's difficult to talk in a way and to point this out so it really becomes very clear for us. Well, I better stop because we have another minute. Does anybody have a question? Yeah, 1 minute. Yes.
I have a question. I just want to say I think it was sloppy, but
oh.
I really appreciated hearing about completeness and freedom.
Yeah, and freedom is the word. This is what we're talking about. Because in learning to do this, bring yourself right here, and to not feel like I need to do this for something else, now there's a real freedom. Yeah. And now with this freedom, well, you can take care of these other things or something or whatever it is. But don't ever think that you need to do this so that, because that's the bondage. That's not freedom at all. So just drop that kind of thinking and just realize we can just do this for its own sake. And everything you bring to this moment, you can take care of it for its own sake. If it turns out to be something that's really not necessary for you to take up, well, you'll see that. And then don't bother yourself or the rest of the world. You don't have to take that up. But there's always something you need to take up. Well, you'll see that very clearly and then take it up. But if you learn to take it up here, right here in this moment, right here, this place, right where you are. Yeah, so there's the freedom. That's real freedom. Yeah, so that is the word. And we are out of time. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. To hear more talks on Buddhism, Zen, and related topics, visit dharmafield.org.